Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining today's webinar, Employer Connections with TANF, CVS Health Pharmacy Technician Training Program, hosted jointly by the OFA Peer TA Network and CVS Health. We are delighted to have you this afternoon to share an opportunity with CVS Health and all of you today. My name is James Butler, and I serve as one of the program specialists here in the Office of Family Assistance, and I will be facilitating today's webinar. As you know, building solid relationships with employers is a strategic way to increase the employment success of TANF participants. Expanding upon its successful partnership with the state of New Hampshire by way of their CVS Health Pharmacy Technician Training Program, CVS Health offers a free pathway for TANF recipients throughout the United States to complete pharmacy technician training and certification while being paid. During today's webinar, you will hear about the origin, operation, and outcomes of the CVS Health Partnership with the New Hampshire Departments of Health and Human Services and Labor, as well as how TANF agencies can contact CVS Health representatives to connect TANF recipients to training programs in their areas. As we move through the webinar, it's our hope that you will consider employer insights in developing training programs and partner with stakeholders to create opportunities for communities and explore the CVS Health Pharmacy Technician Training Program partnership with New Hampshire and its participant outcomes, as well as growth and career opportunities for graduates. I am delighted to introduce Mr. John or Jonathan DeSilva, a Regional Learning Center Manager at CVS Health, who will share some great information with us. He is part of CVS Health Workforce Initiatives team and works to help people on their path to better health by cultivating innovative partnerships and programs that attract and equip diverse talent for dynamic and rewarding careers with CVS Health. He's led efforts to develop award-winning pharmacy technician training and management training programs in colleges, high schools, and community agencies throughout Massachusetts. Throughout the presentation, you will have an opportunity to ask questions through the chat box located in the bottom right corner of your screen. If we are not able to get to everyone's question, we will provide a Q&A on our Peer TA website along with a transcript and audio recording for today's webinar. Before I turn things over to John, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Lisa Washington Thomas, who serves as the chief of OFA's self-sufficiency branch, who will share some information on OFA's Health Professions Opportunities Grants, also known as HPOG. Lisa?
Thank you. Thank you, James. As James mentioned, we wanted to talk to you about partnerships, and we thought this was an opportune time before Jonathan and our New Hampshire colleagues discuss their wonderful program to remind you that there is the Health Profession Opportunity Grants Program. I'm sure you all are aware of it. HPOC has 32 discretionary grants in 21 states, and as James was mentioned, we're hoping that to help you to build partnerships, and one of the ways is making sure that you at least know about the opportunities in your area. HPOG provides education and training to TANF participants and other low-income individuals for the occupation of the healthcare field that pay well, are expected to experience labor shortages, or are in high demand. TANF recipients are one of the main target populations under HPOG. And HPOG provides access to career pathways starting at basic skills development through occupational training. Some HPOG grantees are also involved in this CVS apprenticeship and are having wonderful outcomes. So we are hoping that you will partner with CVS or partner with your HPOG, or if you are interested in a new career pathway, that you reach out to the Peer TA Network and request technical assistance. You can find out more information on HPOG on OFA's website, as well as and on the website under Find HPOG Programs, You can find the HR program in your area and contact information to coordinate referrals. Thank you, and I turn this back over to you, James.
Thank you, Lisa, and I will now in turn turn it over to John. John, you have the floor.
Thank you. Okay, let me just get caught up with the meeting. There was a little bit of lag on my end, so I apologize for that. So today, the goal of the meeting is to tell everyone a little bit about CVS Health as an organization, as opposed to CVS Pharmacy, what most people are familiar with. So the beginning portion of the presentation is going to speak specifically to CVS Health as an organization. And as we go through, we'll touch on our National Pharmacy Technician Training Program that is able to be, that is available to the TANF population, but we've really perfected up here in New Hampshire. All right. CVS Health as an organization is a pharmacy innovation company. And when we say that, we literally do everything based on our values of innovation, collaboration, caring, integrity, and accountability. It's very important for us to stay innovative because we don't want to end up like organizations like Blockbuster that didn't stay innovative and aren't with us today. Our strategy is to reinvent pharmacy in a variety of different ways. At the current state, we are able to support individuals from our pharmacy stores all the way to our long-term care facilities, which we'll talk about as we go through the presentation. And our purpose, which really serves as our guiding light, is helping people on their path to better health. CVS Health as an organization is broken into four pieces. As most people know, CVS Pharmacy is our local neighborhood pharmacy. There's 9,600 CVS pharmacies throughout the country, and that's where the majority of our pharmacy technicians are employed. In fact, the most opportunity for pharmacy technicians in our organization are within our stores. We also have CVS Caremark, which is our prescription benefit management portion of our organization. We also have CVS MinuteClinic, which is our nurse practitioner clinics throughout the country, which is about 1,100, where we employ nurse practitioners inside of our stores to support our community. And lastly, we have CVS Specialty. CVS Specialty is our specialty medications. It's a very fancy name. It's our specialty medications that aren't readily available within our organization. That could be for individuals with cancer and Crohn's disease. As we go through this presentation, we'll take a deeper dive into each one of these facets of our business and also explain the career pathways for a pharmacy technician going through this program. CVS Pharmacy. So our core pharmacies, which are CVS freestanding locations, we have 7,700 pharmacies throughout the United States. On average, those 7,700 pharmacies get about 5 million visits from customers a day, and annually we fill about 1 billion prescriptions. Now, most people are familiar with our local pharmacies. You probably shop there. But some information about our pharmacy is the type of roles that are available. Most people think that within the pharmacy, you can only be a clerk cashier or a pharmacy technician. Well, in fact, in the pharmacy, there's a hybrid role called the clerk cashier pharmacy technician. There's also the pharmacy technician. There's the inventory specialist who's responsible for all the inventory in the pharmacy. There's the shift supervisor of the pharmacy who's in charge of, essentially, they serve as like the assistant manager of the pharmacy. They have the lead technician role in a pharmacy, which serves as the person who's in charge of the day-to-day activities in the pharmacy, from scheduling to daily setup, training of new hired employees, etc. We have pharmacy interns, which would be pharmacists who are going to college to become pharmacists. We have staff pharmacists, which are our day-to-day pharmacists in our store, and we have pharmacy managers. With the exception of those last three, nothing beyond a high school diploma is required for those roles. What's great about CVS is you can work in the pharmacy and segue into a variety of different roles on the retail side. So even if you went through this pharmacy technician training program, worked your way up the ladder to become a lead technician, decided to go into management, you can switch over to the front store. You could work as a shift supervisor, an operations supervisor, an operations manager, a store manager in training, or a store manager. I'll give an example of someone who's on my team, Vicky. Vicky started as a cashier 22 years ago. After being a cashier for a while, she decided to go into the pharmacy, started as a pharmacy technician, worked her way to an inventory specialist where she was in charge of the inventory. So that's now three steps on a career ladder. She went from inventory specialist to a lead technician and was in charge of the pharmacy's day-to-day activities. Decided she wanted to go into management, became a store manager in training, and then moved on to store management. Since then, she moved on to field training and works with me and the training team over at our corporate presence in Boston, the Regional Learning Center. Additionally, in the stores, there's also specialist roles, such as beauty consultants, automated checkout specialists, which are responsible for fixing those automated checkout machines. Those are mostly in big cities, not so much rural areas. And then we have market investigators, which is an individual who would work for our loss prevention team that would work with the stores to help minimize shrink. All of those positions, with the exception of a staff pharmacist, a pharmacy manager, a pharmacy intern, require nothing more than a high school diploma and are all steps in the career ladder on the retail side. Additionally, we recently purchased all of the pharmacies in Target. So across the United States, all of the pharmacies inside of Target have been rebranded to CVS Pharmacy. That's an additional 1,600 locations that individuals who are going through this pharmacy technician training program could work at. We also purchased all 80 of the Target clinics, which are now rebranded as CVS Health Minute Clinics. By purchasing all of the Target pharmacies, we now have a larger network, which means lower prices for our customers. One statistic that I love to share, especially with the TANF community, knowing that transportation is one of the biggest hurdles for employment. 75% of the United States population lives within 3 miles of a CVS pharmacy. So if you live in one of the red states, 75% of the individuals who live in that state are within 3 miles of a CVS location. As you can see, only six states are not shaded in red. Even if you went to Hawaii, your 75% of that population is still within 3 miles of a CVS. Now, that's a really important statistic because we are literally everywhere, whether inside of Target or one of our core stores, and that being so close and being so readily available really eliminates that burden, really eliminates that hurdle. For some people who don't drive, we're easily accessible through public transportation or we're an Uber ride away. As you continue your journey with our organization, one of the things I really want to stress in this presentation is career path. So we have seven corporate offices in the United States, and four of those corporate locations are close to major metropolitan areas. So we have a corporate office in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is close to Phoenix, Irving, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas, Northbrook, Illinois, which is just outside of Chicago, Woonsocket, Rhode Island, which is close to Boston, Pittsburgh, Florham Park, New Jersey, which is just outside of New York City, and Solon, Ohio. So throughout the country, we also have corporate presences for individuals who are climbing that career ladder and would like to take a job at a corporate office to further their careers. Going back into the facets of our business, CVS Caremark, which employs a lot of our pharmacy technicians but is only in our corporate locations. Our CVS Caremark is more of a call center-based pharmacy technician role. This pharmacy technician, as you can see in the picture, would be working with individuals throughout the United States to fill prescriptions that would be mailed to their house, to support prescription adherence, follow up with doctors, or enter in orders for patients, as well as working the online adjudication process to ensure inscriptions are processed through insurances correctly, and dealing with any prior authorizations or prescription denials for patients who are with CVS. Through this, we've been able to, on average yearly, deliver 85 million prescriptions nationally, and I've worked with over 75 million people each year to make sure their prescriptions are delivered to them in the mail. Not only have we done that, our pharmacy technicians have offered 32 million patients last year live counseling interventions through our pharmacy advisor program, where the pharmacy technicians and pharmacists called patients to speak to them about their medications. Additionally, I spoke earlier of CVS Specialty, another facet of our company. There's 27 specialty pharmacies in the United States. Specialty pharmacies really focus on diseases such as cancer, Crohn's disease, anything that normally would not be readily available in a CVS pharmacy. Those specialty pharmacies employ pharmacy technicians that go through these programs. In fact, in New Hampshire, we've been able to take three TANF participants last year and put them into our OmniCare long-term care pharmacy facility in Manchester, New Hampshire. Our OmniCare facility is very similar to a CVS regular pharmacy, except it's not customer-facing. The responsibility of an OmniCare pharmacy technician is to fill prescriptions for long-term care facilities such as nursing homes, prisons, job corps, places like that. So OmniCare would essentially be filling prescriptions for 50 to 60 day supplies as opposed to going into a store and getting a 30-day supply. Additionally, another offering of CVS Specialty is Quorum, which is Infusion Technology Services. Now, through Infusion Technology Services, we're able to focus on sterile and non-sterile compounding. I don't know if you guys have heard in the news, a few years ago, a lot of people had passed away from a compounding center that was not compounding appropriately, not utilizing clean rooms, and many people across the United States, unfortunately, lost their lives. Through Quorum, all of our compounding is handled in clean rooms under hoods, unless it's non-sterile compounding, and that would be compounded in a regular area. But that is another organization that CVS owns. Anybody who's going through this program who shows the appropriate competencies would be able to work at any of our 27 specialty pharmacies, any of our OmniCares or Quorum locations simply by going through this training program, in addition to our 9,600 retail locations. Lastly, I wanted to talk about CVS MinuteClinic. Although the program that we offer is a pharmacy technician training program, that doesn't mean that your career path ends as a pharmacy technician. Many individuals I've met through going to through job clubs or working at the local career centers who are TANF recipients have aspirations once they've settled and stabilized to continue and become maybe a nurse or become a LPN or a nurse practitioner, or even go a different road and go into business management. But I like to highlight the nurse practitioner role because CVS hires more nurse practitioners in the United States more than any other organization. So somebody going through this program who could be a pharmacy technician could segue and become and begin working in our MinuteClinic upon completing nursing school. So for instance, imagine working in a CVS pharmacy coming through a TANF program, or this TANF program, working in our CVS pharmacy for 3 to 4 years or five, depending on how long you're going to school for, and then not having to leave the organization that you've learned the culture of, not having to worry about your paycheck frequency changing or filling out any paperwork or going 2 or 3 weeks without paycheck as you wait for your new company to cycle. You'd be able to segue into our MinuteClinic role and work as a nurse practitioner in our stores. Obviously, there'd be an increase in pay that would correspond with the new role. All right. So jumping into the apprenticeship program. So our program has really been structured to meet the needs of TANF participants. Now, one thing I want to stress is throughout the United States, we offer pharmacy technician training program. In fact, there is my team, the Workforce Initiatives team, there's 25 of us covering the United States, and our role is to connect great individuals to career opportunities within our organization. One thing I just want to correct with James is that by going through the program, it's not a guarantee that you would be employed. It determines on how you perform during the program. So if you participated in the program and you decided not to show up for your shifts or to come in late all the time or to just leave the program and come back 3 months later, it would be your Your connection to an employment opportunity would be based on your performance while going through the program. So the reason we do this is because we're committed to diversity. CVS is one of the largest companies in the United States. In fact, we're number 7 on the Fortune 500. We employ about 250,000 employees nationally, and we pride ourselves in being a diverse organization to work for. In fact, our four pillars of diversity are workforce representation, colleague engagement, talent systems, and marketplace diversity. We believe under workforce representation that the individuals who are in our communities should be the individuals staffing our stores. Our stores should be a direct reflection of our communities. We also believe in colleague engagement. We understand that by keeping employees happy, whether it be with wages, whether it be with time off, great benefits, or further our retention. So we are very big in polling our employees yearly, and making sure that we are hearing the voices of our 250,000 employees through engagement surveys. And we create engagement plans to address any concerns our employees have, whether it be, like I said, with benefits, time off, anything like that. We also have talent systems. Regardless of roles that require a degree based on laws or clinical degrees, we offer training programs for all of the roles within our organization that don't require any college degrees. For instance, my job as the Regional Learning Center Manager is to employ 5 trainers who are responsible for the 5,000 employees in Massachusetts to provide training from leadership training for our management staff, pharmacy technician training, PTCB certification, register training for cashiers, as well as training for our specialty locations and training for our upper management team when it comes to diverse workforce practices. So what's great about CVS is there's a training program for any avenue you decide to take. When I took this role 3 years ago, it's going to be 4 years in September, I went through a diversity training program that was 6 months long that taught me the laws and regulations, the responsibilities of federal contractors, public speaking, et cetera. And I wasn't required to go back to school in order to be in this role as a regional manager. Last piece is marketplace diversity. By ensuring that we have diverse stores and by ensuring that we have a diverse employee base, we're able to meet the needs of of our communities, and we're able to grow and embed ourselves in our communities. Okay, so in New Hampshire, we are employing a CVS employer-driven training model. The goal of this training model is unsubsidized employment. We've partnered with the Department of Labor and the Office of Office of Apprenticeship, as well as the Department of Health and Human Services. So essentially, as an employer, I identified a specific occupational need. In New Hampshire, my greatest need was the pharmacy technician role. I worked with the Department of Labor to design a pre-apprenticeship and apprenticeship phases of the program. And we'll go through that as the presentation continues. I implement the apprenticeship aspect as well as the pre-apprenticeship aspect, and I oversee all apprenticeship licensing with the client. Essentially, CVS Health is the training provider for this. There's no need to send the individual to a college program. It's all handled in-house. From the second the person gets accepted to the program, through the pre-apprenticeship, all the way to the apprenticeship phase, CVS handles all of the training. Our goal is to hire individuals and advance them throughout the CVS organization. By working with the TANF work program, I'm able to interact with the potential labor pool of qualified individuals who maybe didn't know the opportunity was there for them and were unaware of the training the CVS offers. What's great is by going through an apprenticeship program, there's guaranteed wages that are associated with this role, as well as guaranteed increases that come with every skill learned. So we've identified a model for healthcare that aligns with apprenticeship credentialing, and there's stackable credentials that go throughout the duration of the training. Okay. So outlining apprenticeship. So we've taken a unique approach in New Hampshire by by utilizing the apprenticeship model and incorporating apprenticeship in what we do. Now, nationally, not every state has the apprenticeship program launched in the state because it's essentially geared by need. So, for instance, the state of Maine, where there isn't many CVSs, there's only 22, does not have apprenticeship, but we still offer this training program as an externship. Same structure, same program, this just doesn't have the input of the Department of Labor. In Massachusetts, where there's 440 CVS locations, we have the apprenticeship model, same as New Hampshire. So essentially, the way apprenticeship works is it's a business involvement. So the apprenticeship is run by business. You can't have an apprenticeship without a corroborating business supporting the apprenticeship. So therefore, a pharmacy technician apprenticeship couldn't just exist without an employer backing. You can't go into a farm tech apprenticeship and just say, I'm going to go through these classes, and then I'll tell CVS I went through an apprenticeship. The apprenticeship is established by CVS, it's run by CVS, and it's valid at CVS. The credentials that go with the CVS apprenticeship, the credentials that come with CVS apprenticeship are industry standard credentials, so those credentials can be used anywhere in the United States. Part two of the apprenticeship is structured on-the-job training. Like I said, with CVS being the training provider, we'll offer a structured on-the-job training program that's outlined in a couple slides that's coming up. We'll also provide all of the related instruction. And as I said earlier, as you gain skills, there's reward for skill gains. And lastly, there's that national credential. The credential that we utilize in this program is the Pharmacy Technician Certification Board credential. This is a national license that is recognized in all states, and it is required in most states in order to be a pharmacy technician. For instance, in Massachusetts, you can only be a pharmacy technician for 1,000 hours before requiring to become licensed. If you're not licensed within 1,000 hours, you are no longer allowed to participate as a pharmacy technician trainee past those 1,000 hours. What's great about this program as well is we've taken a competency-based approach to the pharmacy technician role. Most apprenticeship programs that we've heard of in the past, such as a plumber's apprenticeship or a carpenter's apprentice, those are time-based apprenticeship programs. They could be 2,000 hours, they could be 4,000 hours. At CVS, our pharmacy apprenticeship is competency-based, and most individuals are able to complete this within 6 months. The program that we've structured in New Hampshire, it's 875 hours start to finish, and within 875 hours, you can be a certified pharmacy technician licensed in all states. Next slide. Because of this program, because of its structure and its guaranteed wages, anybody who would be going through the apprenticeship portion, if the state offers apprenticeship, would go through the pre-apprenticeship. The pre-apprenticeship duration varies by state. For instance, in Rhode Island, the pre-apprenticeship is 40 hours. In Massachusetts, the pre-apprenticeship is 220 hours. In New Hampshire, pre-apprenticeship is 180 hours. So the pre-apprenticeship varies based on the specific pharmacy laws that are in that area as well as the program. So what pre-apprenticeship does, it ensures that the candidate is ready and has the beginner's knowledge to begin studying to be a pharmacy technician. So in the pre-apprenticeship phase, they'll be getting all of their basics to make sure they qualify, and they'll be testing to make sure they qualify to become labeled as an apprentice. So in our program, the pre-apprenticeship is classroom and OJT training, and OJT for CVS means going into a store and working hands-on. So all skills that are learned would be reinforced with modular training. We have an online program called CVS LearnNet, and it generates transcripts and has certain training models that we've registered with the Department of Labor apprenticeship program. So that registration outlines all of the pre-apprenticeship training required. Individuals who are going through our training program would complete those pre-apprentice modules, complete the hands-on training in-store, and then would qualify to become an apprentice. So essentially, the way the pre-apprenticeship to registered apprenticeship model works for people who are more visual, it starts with related instruction. At the end of related instruction, you would be moved into a paid role, which is the apprenticeship role, if you complete the qualifications for the pre-apprenticeship. Everyone that we've put through the program in New Hampshire has not had an issue completing the pre-apprenticeship and all qualified to move on to the apprenticeship program. But the good thing is, well, it's not a good thing, not for me, but for people who are going through the program, some people decided after going through the pre-apprenticeship program, the CVS pharmacy technician wasn't for them, right? Some even noticed halfway through the program that it sounded like a great opportunity, but now I'm not really interested in retail pharmacy. So it also allows the candidate the opportunity to determine if they're interested in their career path within CVS without having to go, or a career path as a pharmacy technician, without having to go to a local college and pay for the program. Here in New Hampshire, the average cost for this program is about $3,000. In Massachusetts, it varies from about $3,800, depending on the college, all the way up to $15,000 to go through the same exact pharmacy technician training program. This is offered free for TANF recipients who are coming through this program. There's no cost, and the apprenticeship portion, which normally you would be paying, which is the national pharmacy training, we're paying you to learn. All you have to do is qualify and go through the pre-apprenticeship portion, which is the pharmacy basics. As you learn more skills, there's guaranteed wages as you go through the program. The guaranteed wages are set in each state because each state has different wage guidelines. At the end of the program, you would get credentials, and we'll go through those credentials. They're on the next slide. Additionally, part of the apprenticeship structuring is what we call the building blocks competency model. So this particular competency model is what the Department of Labor has outlined as the responsibilities of a pharmacy technician. So it starts with personal effectiveness competencies, such as interpersonal skills, integrity, professionalism, initiative, dependability and reliability, adaptability and flexibility, and lifelong learning. It moves on then to academic competencies. One of the things as a pharmacy technician that is, it is a struggle for some individuals, but up here in New Hampshire, we've been able to offset that with training programs offered by career centers is math. So although a high school diploma is the only thing required to be a pharmacy technician, being able to perform calculations with a calculator or in your head is very important for a pharmacy technician. For instance, most doctors don't write a prescription saying put 21 pills in a bottle. They would say take 3 pills a day for the next 7 days. That would equal out to 21 pills in a bottle. We also recommend individuals who have an aptitude for science and technology and who can communicate effectively. If you think about it, as stated earlier, nationally, we get about 5 million customers a day that go to CVS. So if you're in the pharmacy, most of the customers who are picking up their prescriptions are sick. So being able to effectively communicate with those customers and show empathy and support them is something that falls into our competency model, as well as critical and analytical thinking and some basic computer skills because everything's processed on a computer. Everything is sent, even faxing. We don't fax anymore. Even faxes are sent through the computer. So inputting patient information, processing prescriptions, everything's done through a computer. We then follow into our Tier 3 competencies, which is workplace competencies, which focuses on everything from teamwork, customer focus, planning and organizing, creative thinking, problem solving and decision making, scheduling and coordinating, sustainable practices, health and safety, business fundamentals. Moving into Tier 4, which is our industry-wide technical competencies. So those are the competencies that are specific to the National Board of Pharmacy test. That is your top 200 drugs. That's the online adjudication process. That's SIG codes, drug interactions, NDC numbers. We'll train all of that. Then industry sector technical competencies. We'll also teach you things that have nothing to do with retail pharmacy so that you can take this credential and use it anywhere. We'll teach you IV flow drips. We'll teach you anything that could be utilized by a pharmacy technician outside of retail. That way, if you went through this program and worked for CVS for a couple of years and decided that there was a great opportunity to work in your local hospital, you would be able to utilize your pharmacy technician credential that you gained working at CVS in the hospital, because it's a national industry credential. It's not a CVS-specific credential. And there's no requirement to stay with us for X amount of number of years for going through this program. Additionally, for people who excel, we began putting in management competencies for our lead technician roles. So there is occupation-specific requirements, but in this one particular here, I wanted to outline that once you've completed your 6 months and you've received your apprenticeship certificate, it doesn't stop there. We continue to groom you and instill management competencies such as staffing, delegation, networking, developing and mentoring, motivating and inspiring, and we continue to build up our employees to become leaders in our pharmacy, which is another rung on the career ladder. Okay, so as you can see, that's a lot to cram into 6 months, and this is an accelerated program. In New Hampshire, we've chosen 6 months. What's great about CVS is we offer flexibility, right? We picked 6 months specifically because we understand that TANF participants, they need to get up and going quickly, right? The apprenticeship model can be stretched all the way to 2,000 hours and can be executed over 2 years. So in other states where maybe 6 months might seem like something overwhelming, you could stretch it out to 8 to 12 to even 2 years if you wanted for this competency model. Because every market is so different, as an organization, we understand that and we offer flexibility. What I'm showing you guys today is a sample of how we do it in New Hampshire. It doesn't have to be the way you do it in Ohio. It doesn't have to be the way you do it in Iowa or California. It can be executed differently with the representative who does my job in that particular state. Excuse me. Additionally, the only part that is required from this is the pre-apprenticeship training part. So if we look here, the way it's set up is we are registered in every single state, but again, not every state has incorporated the apprenticeship because it's based on need. So the most important part is the pre-apprenticeship. In New Hampshire, it's 180-hour on-site work experience with key experience guide. In New Hampshire, we pay for the state licensing fee. Some states don't require a license up front. New Hampshire does. Massachusetts does not. Rhode Island does. So that would vary depending on the state that you're in. But if there is a state licensing fee, in order for you to begin this training program, we cover the cost of it. We'll cover all the classroom training for the pre-apprenticeship, which is your introduction to pharmacy basics, introduction to pickup, introduction to production, inventory management, and drop-off. So essentially, those are the basics to show that you have the competencies to get into an apprenticeship and be able to execute this program, college-level program, even though it doesn't require any college in order to go into it. Phase two, which is the nationally certified pharmacy technician license program. This is a paid, self-paced training program. In New Hampshire, we allow 30 weeks, so just over 6 months in case people go on vacation or take a week off. Our goal in New Hampshire is to bring everybody in on full time. What we've learned is not everyone has the capacity to work full time. Although our pharmacies are open from 8 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, some 24 hours, individuals who are TANF recipients might not be interested in working full-time. So although we do prefer to bring individuals on to full-time, we totally understand that not everyone can be brought in full-time. But for this particular example, we're talking about full-time employment. So it's paid, self-paced training up to 30 weeks. We pay for the national certification licensing testing fee. We pay you the entire time you're an apprentice. In New Hampshire, our wage, which aligns with the wage guidelines for that state, is $14 an hour. So what we've done in this particular program is instead of giving wage increases as the person attains their various credentials, we've front-loaded the $14 an hour and are working with the Department of Health and Human Services to offset the difference, which is $3 an hour, through a wage reimbursement. So we are paying for OJT, and we are pushing for full-time positions. So that's how it is in New Hampshire. And like I said, every state is structured differently, and you would structure your program essentially from the ground up with the CVS representative from that state. And we provide that information at the end of this presentation. Okay. So the client outcomes, and these are the most important pieces, is what does the client get out of this? So the client will get a state pharmacy technician license. Now, not all states require the pharmacy technician license, the state one. We will provide that for any states that do require it. CVS pharmacy technician pre-apprenticeship completion certificate. So for completing your pre-apprenticeship with CVS, we'll give you a pre-apprenticeship completion certificate that's recognized by the Department of Labor. So you can go through the pre-apprenticeship, decide at this time that retail pharmacy is not for you, and leave and end your pre-apprenticeship and not move on to apprenticeship. If at any time you can come back 20 years later with your pre-apprenticeship certificate and walk directly into an apprenticeship role within CVS, that is recognized by the Department of Labor. The next credential that you would receive is the Pharmacy Technician Certification Board National License, which would allow you to be a pharmacy technician in all states as well as all industry sectors. Excuse me. It wouldn't be just retail. The PTCB license is valid in hospitals, long-term care facilities, retail pharmacies, anywhere that you would have to be a licensed pharmacy technician. And lastly, this particular program would give you your DOL apprenticeship certification as well. Now, I know I went through that pretty quickly, and there's a big download of information, but that moves us on to the next slide, which isn't actually questions. That was the end of my presentation. It moves into the contact map. So, Steve, do you want to jump in, or are we backing up to questions?
I can jump in really quickly. Just to let folks know that to help you identify your local contact for the CVS Health Workforce Initiatives, we created a contact information map that is located on the PeerTA website. You see the link there. I think we may be able to also pull it up on screen. But we will be following up with everyone that has participated in the webinar with an email, including the link to the map, as well as an opportunity for you to give feedback. But as you can see on the screen, on the PeerTA website, you're able to click on individual states, and then the contact information will come up below the map, name, address, phone number, and email, just to facilitate the process of you contacting the individuals that are in charge of your relative regions. So we'll be following up with you very shortly after the presentation with that information, and to give you the link and to make that available on the PeerTA website moving forward. So I think we can go back into questions now, John, if you are ready, if that's okay with you, James.
I am ready.
Yes, so once again, everybody, we are now accepting questions, and you can submit your questions by using the chat box in the bottom right corner of your screen.
Okay, let me see what we've got in here for questions so far.
Yeah, we got a couple. I think there's one you can see from Mary Cohen that was just sent. No colleges are used for related instruction under this apprenticeship model, then where are associated classes held? Also, if colleges are used, how is college credit recognized after the completion of the apprenticeship?
And that is a great question. So with apprenticeship, and we are working that in New Hampshire as we speak. So let's actually, let me go backwards with that. So all of the classroom-related instruction, CVS Health as an organization has a training team of over 3,000 field colleague trainers. In order to teach and become a registered training provider, you must be registered with the particular state that you're providing the training in. CVS is registered as a training provider in all 50 states, and all of our trainers are certified pharmacy, PTCB certified, Pharmacy Technician Certification Board trainers. So our training team, we have what's called field colleague trainers. And so our training team would train these individuals in our training locations. Many stores have a back room that's a classroom setting, or they have our CVS Learning Center or a regional business office. For instance, in Massachusetts, my office in Boston has 4 classrooms, a mock store, a mock pharmacy, and 5 trainers that are housed out of my office. In New Hampshire, there's only 1 trainer for the state of New Hampshire because there's only 40 stores. She has a training site in Concord, New Hampshire, where she does all of the training. Because it's an apprenticeship-based program, your local, it is recognized for college credits, or it can be recognized. I shouldn't say it is. It can be recognized for college credits if you create an articulation agreement. So in New Hampshire, we are working with the community college system of New Hampshire. For anyone who has the PTCB credential, to receive college credits at their local college. In Massachusetts, we've already established that agreement with the Community College Community College System of Massachusetts, wherein individuals who went through our management apprenticeship, which is not, which we've been to talk about today, but we also have a management apprenticeship. So anyone who's gone through a management apprenticeship would have an articulation agreement for college credits, as well as anyone who's gone through our pharmacy technician training. Now, the catch with that is that's an initiative that's set up between the state and CVS and the state and the agency that we're partnering with. So when we started this in New Hampshire, it was the Department of Labor, the Community College System of New Hampshire, the Department of Health and Human Services, as well as CVS Health sitting down and explaining the program. There's no guarantee that the state will accept it for college credits in the particular state that you're in, but the Department of Apprenticeship, they are pretty good at working with the states, especially since most states are applying for apprenticeship grants, and it wouldn't make sense for the Department of Labor to give you X thousands of dollars for healthcare apprenticeships and then not recognize those apprenticeships for credits when it's the same exact program.
Great.
Actually, Steve, it probably makes sense if you list out the questions to me instead of me scrolling through the chat box.
Okay, will do. Next question, are the apprenticeship hours based on the WIOA DOL model?
No, the apprenticeship hours are based on what the Department of Labor has determined is required, is the maximum allotted time frame for a pharmacy technician apprenticeship. So they've maxed that out at 2,000 hours. CVS has taken the competency-based approach for the TANF program and said, here's our competencies, here's the competencies, and on average, pharmacy technicians working within our organization show these competencies within 6 months of full-time employment, 9 months of part-time employment. So we've used an industry statistic to come up with this particular program, the accelerated program, to get individuals skilled up within 6 months if they're full-time, 9 months if they're part-time. But the actual maximum duration of the program set by the Department of Labor is 2,000 hours, 2 years.
Okay, thanks. Next question, when does the pre-apprenticeship begin? Is there a specific timeline or time of year when these programs are started?
Every single day of the week. So as an organization, we hire individuals every day. So if you figure there's probably, if we hired one person for half the stores we have in the United States, we'll throw out 4,000. there could be 4,000 people going through a pharmacy technician pre-apprenticeship right now. Anybody who's hired with us would go through this phase training and would go through this pharmacy technician training. So the way the program is set up, it integrates these individuals going through the pre-apprenticeship with our new hires. What's great about individuals going through a pre-apprenticeship through TANF is they're making significantly more than what somebody would be coming in who was just hired directly because they don't have the apprenticeship requirement in the six-month accelerated training program. So on average, individuals coming through this coming through an apprenticeship program have that structured wage guideline that's starting $2 to $3 more an hour than individuals who are being hired directly, not through an apprenticeship program. And the reason why is because of the accountability standards held to them that they're going to go through this program in 6 to 9 months, as opposed to someone who might get hired and work for CVS for 15 years and never become a certified technician.
Right. Let's see. So next question, when you speak about OJT on the job training, are you referring to CVS paying someone while they are working, or are you referring to partnering with a TANF program to utilize subsidized training funds?
Gotcha. So one of the biggest obstacles that we had in New Hampshire was speaking the same language. What OJT means to CVS is very different from what OJT means to TANF, right? So in the pre-apprenticeship phase, that is unpaid. So those first 180 hours where they're learning CVS basics and applying some hands-on training in our stores, that is unpaid, that first 180 hours, right? Once you are brought on to CVS, which is what I believe TANF calls OJT when you're hired, we call that employment. You guys call it OJT. We are then leveraging payroll reimbursements in order to front load the higher wage to the individual and subsidize the difference to our store teams through the payroll reimbursement. So for an example, in New Hampshire, we're bringing on individuals at $14 an hour, and each one of those hours is being reimbursed at $3 an hour for a maximum of $3,500, which is 875 hours, which is 6 months. So And that, the hired piece, is what TANF would call OJT. Did that explain that appropriately?
I think so. I think you covered what they were looking for. But please feel free to ask additional questions if we need to provide with additional information. Let's see. Is there an easy way to search for the locations of these apprenticeship programs? Are the contacts that you provided us, that we've provided in the online map, is that the best way to get in touch, or are there other avenues to search for information?
That would be the best way to get in touch, because even if we don't have the apprenticeship program, our workforce initiatives, which is my team, we're not talent acquisition, we're a community relations team that will work with our communities to find individuals' employment. So even if we're not apprenticed in that state, you can still go through this program and still receive the same benefit minus the apprenticeship certificate, right? We still offer that PTCB training program internally in our stores. So it would be a slightly modified program that wouldn't be as accelerated, and it wouldn't result with an apprenticeship certificate, but we do offer that PTCB program in all of our states. And it would just be structured differently with the person for your state. So, for instance, if you were working in Ohio where they don't have apprenticeship, you'd be working with my counterpart, John White. John White runs these programs every day. It's standard practice for us. We just don't call it apprenticeship in Ohio like we call it apprenticeship in New Hampshire. And instead of a pre-apprenticeship, there would be an externship. And the reason we require an externship in states that don't have apprenticeship is if we're going to assume the role of a training provider, we need to make sure that that candidate is able to go through the program by doing an externship with us.
Excellent. So Another question is, I think, related to that response in terms of our other CVS locations in other states participating in this, and if an individual would talk to a local CVS, would they be familiar with the process, or is the most efficient way to set up this process would be to go through the regional contact?
Yep, so the regional contact would be the best way, and the reason why is if our store managers, their job is to run their stores. My department's job is to staff their stores. They don't care how the people are getting there. They're just happy they have people coming in. So if you walked into your local CVS store and were like, hey, I'd like to do apprenticeship, that manager would be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So our goal as the Workforce Initiatives team is to partner with the community and then create these programs to send them into our stores. Because our training is so structured internally, everyone goes through the same training, and the manager wouldn't know, other than by how they're categorized in the system, what training program they came from. They would be evaluated by the Workforce Initiatives team, not by the store management team. So the store management, literally the only hand they have in recruiting anymore, because of CVS relying heavily on talent acquisition and the Workforce Initiatives team to make sure we're following all the equal opportunity employment activities. Literally, the only thing a manager has their hand on is an initial interview. Anything after that is handled by the training department, the Workforce Initiatives team, or if they're coming out of a college program, talent acquisition. So walking into a store, a manager honestly would not know what you guys are referring to.
Awesome. So is there a sort of a minimum threshold or minimum requirements for participants? What is required for folks to participate in the program?
Sure. So as a general rule of thumb, I'll say the requirement is a high school diploma or equivalent, right? And that's because 46 of our 50 states require a high school diploma or equivalent. And I can't remember off the top of my head which four states do not require a high school diploma in order to be able to be a pharmacy technician. Now, the reason why that is CVS does not require that in order to work for us, but you're not going to get licensed if you don't have a high school diploma. So you could work as a pharmacy technician in four states, but you'll never get that national credential. So as a rule of thumb, I just let everyone know that a high school diploma is required because you won't be able to get that national credential, which is the whole point of the program, without a high school diploma. The pharmacy board just won't do it. And you'd be put in a front store role, such as a shift supervisor or a clerk cashier.
Got it. So another question about the overall time frame. How long does the whole process take in terms of from going from subsidized wage to full wage?
Our goal is 6 months, and they'd be making full wage. So the way we structure this with TANF in New Hampshire is that the day they start, they're making $14 an hour, and the state just writes me a check for their payroll every month. So we've set it up for 875 hours, which roughly is 6 months of a full-time employment. And in 875 hours, they're apprenticed, they're certified, and they are on their own.
All right. And along those lines, actually going back to your previous response regarding the minimum requirements, would a GED suffice for a diploma, and are there restrictions in terms of criminal records that would inhibit participation?
Yes. So a GED is a high school equivalent, so absolutely. GED, high set for individuals with disabilities. I know in Massachusetts they have an MCAS. I don't know if all states have that, but in Massachusetts, if you don't pass their Massachusetts exam when graduating high school, you get a certificate of attendance, which counts as a high school diploma. You just can't, like, go to college, I guess. I'm not sure the difference. It happened after I graduated high school. But anything that says you completed high school, so an equivalency. Now, when it comes to criminal background checks, the Board of Pharmacy is very strict on criminal background checks. So you would not be able to be a licensed pharmacy technician if you cannot pass a CORI or a SORI. So you'd have to look into the requirements of passing a CORI and a SORI, and those are the requirements in order to participate in this program.
Okay. There's a question about TANF covering costs. So TANF would cover the cost for some of the wages by reimbursing CVS with employment of a TANF client or employee. So, for example, if we offer employees through SEP to cover the first 400 hours at $10 an hour, and CVS is paying the employee $12 an hour, would CVS pay the employee and then get the reimbursement?
If I'm understanding the question correctly, we pay the employee first. So, for instance, once the employee is hired, they're making their rate is set in the computer, and our goal is to keep that rate while they go through the program, right? The only thing that would negate them keeping that rate is their inability to achieve the certification at the end. So that's the skin in the game. So if they come in at $14 an hour, they won't see any disruption in their paycheck unless they don't pass the certification within the allotted amount of time, right? So in New Hampshire, we've deemed that as 6 months for full-time, 9 months for part-time. We offer all the training assistance in order to get there. You have your classroom training, you have pharmacists to train you, you have online modules, you have the books, the pharmacy technician training books. You have literally everything you need to pass that certification exam, just like a regular employee. The difference is TANF clients are being paid the rate of a certified tech instead of the rate of a technician who's training, right? So I would then submit the payroll records to the state at the end of the month, and whatever funds they're using for this, they would then reimburse me whatever that monthly amount of hours is. Does that answer that question appropriately? I hope so. That was kind of a convoluted answer.
I think so. Let's see. Does the client have to be currently receiving TANF cash, or can they be TANF cash eligible and not receiving TANF cash?
All right. So that is when we start speaking different languages. So as an employer, I have no idea. I know, and that might be a great question for the person I work with in New Hampshire, Gene Patnode, who is the employment manager for the Department of Health and Human Services, or the employment and business manager. I can't remember his exact title. But the way CVS sees it is we will bring on individuals from this program. We will guarantee the apprenticeship wage, right, if you're eligible to offset the wage while we are training the person. And like I said, every state is different. Some states utilize 50% wage reimbursements. We settled on 3 in New Hampshire. So what we do in New Hampshire is not what's going to happen in Ohio, right? You know, we came up with $14 an hour in New Hampshire. It might be $16 an hour in New York, because I believe minimum wage got bumped up in New York City to $15 an hour this year. So if we did $14 an hour in New York City, that would kind of be illegal, right, because we're paying below the minimum wage. So every state is different. This doesn't mean that every single state pays $14 an hour. I'm just using the example of New Hampshire. And my wage reimbursement is $3,500 at a $3 an hour rate. I know in other states it could be up to 50% wage reimbursement. So that's when you have to look at your particular programs that are offered in your state, and you'd structure that program from the ground up with the manager of the state that you're partnering with. What CVS is responsible for is providing the training, right? The structuring of the program would be your partnership, but we know everything about the training. You have to help us establish the program structure, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I think that makes perfect sense. Earlier you mentioned in one of your responses a CORI and a SORI. Can you briefly explain what those are for folks that might not be familiar with those acronyms?
Sure. Give me 1 second, and I will Google it real quick and read you the definition. Quarry check. Give me 1 second. So a quarry check is a criminal offender record information. It's a record of criminal court appearances for a particular individual, including arrests, convictions, dismissals, and serious violations. So a quarry check, so when you apply for a pharmacy technician license, if you're in a state, the state will run a state quarry. But if you're applying for, the national license, the pharmacy technician board will run a national quarry. So CVS does not dictate if you get your license or not. So you could be in great standing with us. You could pass our background check. And we'll hire you. Your licensing is pending you passing a quarry at a state and national level. We have no influence on the Board of Pharmacy. In fact, we try to stay on their good graces so that they don't come in and start pulling our licenses, right? And a SORI check is a sex offender registry information. So nationally, they do the quarry and the SORI. So they are doing a sex offender information check for the SORI, and they're doing a criminal background check for the quarry. And that's just the definitions off Google. You could probably go more in depth if you go to ptcb.org, which is the certification board's website, to find more about what exactly they're looking for.
All right. Thanks, John. I think there was one more question at this point. Asking about the pre-apprenticeship phase and wondering how can CVS have someone working in their stores that is not paid?
Sure. Again, because we're a training provider. So as an organization, we are registered as training provider in all 50 states, right? That allows us to do externships where we're providing transferable training skills, right? So you could literally go into our stores, and we do this with front store training programs, management training programs, where you can go into our stores, learn transferable skills. If you're in a particular program, we don't just let people walk off the street and say, hey, come in, work for free. You're only doing things that are considered transferable skills. You're not ringing up registers, which is CVS proprietary. You're not processing payroll. You're not doing something that couldn't be done at other stores. So we have national agreements. We've vetted everything through the DOL, and individuals are able to come into our stores who are coming through a program that offers them a higher employment, that offers them a higher rate of employment once brought on, right? So we wouldn't be able to do one of these training programs and then bring you on what everyone else is bringing you on, right? There has to be some sort of reward for you doing it, and essentially it would be going through this program, being offered a higher rate of pay, being offered a $3,000 to $15,000 education at no cost to you, paying for all your licensing, paying for all your certificates, paying for your apprenticeship fee, as opposed to our regular employees who have to pay for that all themselves.
Got it. Do you know if there is a limited number of pre-apprenticeship and or apprenticeship candidates per store? Does that kind of vary based upon the individual location?
It varies based upon the need of the store. So for an example, in Lowell, Massachusetts, which is a very busy market for me, in one store I have 6 apprentices, because apprenticeship doesn't only go through TNF. We also work with local high schools. So local high schools, colleges, career centers. So right now, in 3 of my Lowell stores, in one of my Lowell stores, I've got 6 apprentices, and the other 2 Lowell stores, I have 3 apprentices in each, right? But then if we go to New Hampshire, we're doing about 1 to 2 apprentices per store, because they're not as busy as my Massachusetts stores. So it really depends on the market and what the need is of that store. Because once you're on, we're paying you, right? I mean, once you complete your pre-apprenticeship, the goal is to hire you. And then once you're hired, we're paying you. We're not bringing individuals on for free help. We're bringing individuals to culture and open up a to expose them to our culture and open a pipeline of talent, because our goal is to hire these individuals. So we try to match individuals into stores that are actively hiring, so that way they don't have to go through the interview process. They're hired directly into the store that they just pre-apprenticed at.
Okay, sounds good. Let's see, a couple more came in. Do you know if foreign diplomas are accepted, or do they need to be evaluated for U.S. equivalency?
Great question. CVS has no problem with foreign diplomas, but I would check with PTCB.org. That would not be a hindrance for employment. It might be a hindrance with pharmacy technician certification boards. So I do know that in the past, I have had people that are from other countries who have had to literally take a picture of their diploma and send it in. So I would look at PTCB.org for more information. From a hiring perspective, it's not a hindrance with CVS hiring you. From a licensing perspective, we don't have control over that. So I would look at PTCB.org.
Great. And another question, folks just want to make sure. So if they have a client who is on TANF and they meet all the requirements, they're eligible to just be referred to the program through the regional contact.
Right, if the program is structured, right? So the other thing, too, is we're not just going to email somebody and go, hey, here's someone for your TANF program, right? If they've never worked with the TANF office, they're going to be like, what is TANF, right? The program that we have is our National Pharmacy Technician Apprenticeship Program. So you have to create the relationship with that manager to say, hey, I'm from Agency X, right? And I'd like to participate in this program, as opposed to saying, hey, got a great person for you, put them in the program. We need to know who you are. We need to know what agency you represent, if it's Department of Health and Human Services, if it's the local career center. So like in New Hampshire, although it's overseen by the Department of Health and Human Services, it's administered through Southern New Hampshire Services, which is the career center. So if somebody from a different agency sends me a contact and I don't know who they are, my first response is like, hi, who are you? How can we partner together, right? So establishing contact with that manager and telling them about being part of this presentation. My entire team knows about it because I've already presented what I'm presenting on today's call like 6 months ago when we presented this in Washington, D.C. So my team knows about it. We've started doing it in Alabama. We started doing it in Washington, D.C., Florida, Ohio. So based on the Washington, D.C. trip, we've already begun executing this in other states. It's just reaching out to that particular person and structuring your program. Because like I said, every program is run differently. What I do in New Hampshire is not the same as what I do in Massachusetts. It's not the same as what I do in Rhode Island. Rhode Island's pre-apprenticeship is 40 hours. So meet with the person in your state, introduce yourself, explain that you'd like to go through the pharmacy technician training program. They'll tell you how theirs is structured. All the requirements are the same. And then you just have to set up how TANF integrates into that.
All right. We had another question that just came in. Do you know if the apprenticeship wage is deductible from the TANF payment? Is the wage treated like work study?
I'm not sure if I understand that question. Could you, I know it's not your question, Steve, but the person who typed that question in, could you reformulate that? Because there is no apprenticeship wage. What it is we create a wage with apprenticeship. So part of the guidelines for apprenticeship is we have to guarantee a wage. So we usually, if we hire pharmacy technicians, for example, at $11, right, anybody who goes to the apprenticeship, we have to put a guaranteed wage in there that's higher than $11. So every state has a different guaranteed wage. Apprenticeship doesn't give us any money. It's what we've committed to apprenticeship that we're paying people. So the guaranteed wage that I was referring to is anyone who goes through the apprenticeship program, regardless of your qualities or characteristics. You could have somebody who's 10 times better than another person. They both start at the same wage. So that's the guaranteed wage I was talking about, is that there's no wage negotiation. We're guaranteeing a higher rate of pay for anyone who goes through apprenticeship, if that makes sense.
All Yeah, I think I followed that, and I think that may be getting at the point. I see Julie followed up. So the guaranteed wage is for when they complete the program.
No, the guaranteed wage is for when they start the program. We're starting them at the guaranteed wage. Yep. And then throughout the duration of the program, there's guaranteed increases, except in the case of New Hampshire, where we went right to the highest wage. So in New Hampshire, the way it starts is if you come in as an apprentice, you start at 12. Once you've gone halfway through the program, you get bumped up 8%. Once you've completed the program, you get bumped up to 14. In New Hampshire, we went right to 14, so there was no increments, and we started at 14. Now, other states might start at their highest wage, might not. It all depends on what you work out with the CVS manager. The reason we were able to start at the higher wage was because TANF was able to reimburse us the difference. Had TANF not been able to reimburse us the difference to use that wage reimbursement, we probably would have started at the $12 an hour rate and had the candidate achieve as they moved up the ladder until the end of the six-month program. Then they would have had the full $14 an hour.
Okay. I think we covered Julie's question, so they are being paid a wage. I think you covered that. Let's see. Can this program be expanded to women single heads of households? Often they fall through the cracks or don't meet TANF requirements. Also, is this being replicated with any other industry that you might be aware of?
Read that question again for me one more time. It was two parts, so I kind of started thinking of the answer for the first part, and then I stopped listening to the second part. So could you say that again, Steve?
First part is, can the program be expanded to women single heads of households? Often they fall through the cracks or don't meet TANF requirements.
Okay. So, yes, we do the program for any agency willing to partner with us, right? For instance, we do this program with, like in Boston, I do the program with homeless women, right? So I partner with a local homeless shelter, and we took homeless women. We put them through, this is more in-depth because they're a higher need, but we put them through a structured training program. They weren't TANF recipients. It was just we partnered with a local agency, created this program, put them through the program. It wasn't an apprenticeship. It was one of our externship programs that delivered the same results. So it doesn't have to be TANF recipients. It could be SNAP recipients. It could be people who are going through an employment program at a local agency. It could be anybody. The catch with the TANF piece is where, this is why we're able to start at the higher wage, is because of wage reimbursement, right? People who are going through this program who aren't getting the wage reimbursement are not starting at the certified tech pay. You're starting at the tech trainee pay, going through the training program, and earning the certified wage. TANF participants, because of the wage reimbursement, are starting at the certified pay.
Okay, and then I think the follow-up was...
And what was part two of the question?
Yeah, are you aware of this type of program being replicated with any other industry?
So not the same exact program, but in New Hampshire, the Naval Shipyard, we have a huge Naval Shipyard here in New Hampshire. They're bringing on about 500 apprentices throughout the year, same type of program. There's local stores that are doing this program, like mom-and-pop convenience stores, who are using TANF wages to do management and supervisor training at local stores in New Hampshire. They call them WEPs, work experience programs. I'm trying to think, what's the big hospital in New Hampshire? Dartmouth-Hitchcock Hospital in New Hampshire is using the apprenticeship program for pharmacy technician. So there's a lot of different industries that leverage apprenticeship, and there's a lot of different industries that leverage the wage reimbursement. I mean, we got people in New Hampshire building nuclear submarines coming out of TANF programs.
Now, that is awesome. Let's see. if there are no funds in TANF for subsidized employment, can the participants still join the program?
Absolutely. The participant would not be starting at the certified rate. The participant would be starting at the starting level rate and then would gain the certified rate upon completion of the program. So they're getting paid. They're just getting paid the technician trainee rate. Think of it as a CNA and an LPN. A CNA doesn't make the same amount of money as an LPN, right? Because an LPN is a licensed practical nurse. A CNA is a nursing assistant. A pharmacy technician trainee is the equivalent of a CNA. A licensed pharmacy technician is the equivalent of a licensed practical nurse, right? What we've done here in New Hampshire, leveraging that reimbursement, is we're paying pharmacy technician trainees the certified pharmacy technician rate, the licensed pharmacy technician rate, right? And we're doing that through wage reimbursement. So if the wage reimbursement isn't available, while the person's in the program, they will be being paid the rate of a pharmacy technician trainee.
Okay, makes sense. I think.
So I did see one question come up that is it an unpaid internship for the 6-month period? No. Only the first 180 hours is unpaid. The first 180 hours is the pre-apprenticeship. That's when you're going through the basics to qualify for the apprenticeship program. Once you've completed that, you are brought in and you're being paid the second that you go into apprenticeship. And that's the 6-month training program. You're getting paid the entire duration of the 6-month training program. The training program is not unpaid. The pre-qualifier for the training program is unpaid.
Got it. And with that, I think you are caught up with all of the questions. That was the last one that we received. And I definitely think that's a record for the amount of questions that we've received in a webinar. So I appreciate you providing so much valuable information to all of the participants. This was really useful. If you don't have any other final thoughts, John, I'm going to turn it back over to James to finish up.
Well, I want to throw in one final thought. So although my team knows that, you know, we're pursuing this avenue, I would suggest that when emailing anyone on the team, to please CC me in the email. Additionally, if there's any additional questions, and I'm going to throw my email address up on the screen real quick. If there's any additional questions, to please email me as well. Give me one second. I'm just going to throw my email address up on the screen. That way I can help you structure your program in whatever market it is that we're working to structure these programs in. Or to address any questions or help you put you in the right direction or to support you in any way that you might possibly need. So for those of you who are looking, you should be able to see Microsoft Word with my email address, which is jonathan.desilva@cvshealth.com. When reaching out to anybody, please CC me in the email. Remember to reference this presentation so that way my peers know what you're talking about. To be honest, imagine, you know, covering 4 or 5 states with 200 to 300 different agencies in it and being responsible for me particularly. I've got almost 700 locations that I staff. So if they don't exactly know what you're talking about right off the bat, I will, because I'm CC'd on the email. So I'm just trying to, you know, explain that sometimes there's kinks in communication because of how large we are. I mean, I'm responsible for staffing 700 locations by myself, right? So imagine individuals on my team who might have multiple states, like Lena Barkley, who has 9 states. You might catch her off guard and say, hey, I want to talk to you about the TANF program. She might be like, who in the world is this? But by CCing me on the email, I'll be able to support you in making that introduction.
Thanks, John. That's really generous of you, and certainly I think appreciated by everyone that wants to move forward and get this awesome opportunity started. Thanks again. James, you want to take over?
Yes. Thanks, John, so very much. That was great and very encouraging information. So as we move towards the wrap-up, for those of you who are listening with us today, you can always help us expand our network by directing interested colleagues from your local and state networks and agencies to our website, which should appear on the screen shortly, but it is peerta.acf.hhs.gov. Another reminder that a transcript and audio recording of today's webinar will be available in a few short weeks on the PRTA Network website. We'd also like to hear from you about future webinar topics, so you can send those ideas by email to the PRTA at ICF.com. Thanks again for all of you who have joined us today, and a special thanks to John DeSilver and CVS Health. Please be on the lookout for an email providing the link to the CVS Health contact map on the PRTA website, as well as a link to a survey about today's webinar so that we can receive your feedback for today's webinar. Thanks again, everyone, for joining us. Have a pleasant remainder of your day.